Yesterday, we were discussing Sadhya, faith and confidence, which is very essential for the yogis to become into the realm of the practice, or sadhana, or dhamma-vinaya. Therefore, the sadhya, faith and confidence, is very crucial. Otherwise, without faith and confidence, one cannot possess any desire, any chandra, need to pick up the practice. If there is no need to pick up the practice, then one will not make any effort. The three kinds of effort are energy, namely the initial long-term energy, the first thing one has got to develop. Then comes the set-up energy, boosted energy, that is the second stage. And the third stage of energy, through the stages of effort until one reaches the goal. So if one does not possess any energy, or one does not exert any energy, there cannot be any mindfulness leading to concentration and wisdom. So in order to develop the later part of this, the later portion of this controlling faculties, such as Priya, that is Maritanya, it is very necessary, first and foremost, to possess faith and confidence for Sadhya to come into the realm of the practice of Dhamma Vinaya, Dhamma Doctrine, that is Sadhana, the Buddha's dispensation. So according to this Sadhya, one must have faith in the quality of the thing which is what the faith, what the sadhya, namely a good dhamma, a blind dhamma. If one does not possess this kind of faith and confidence, first of all one must arouse this faith and confidence, which has been lying dormant. Like when a person takes part of faith, he or she will not be able to do anything. Not only that, he or she will be subject to harm. She will be harmed. He or she will be harmed by external forces because he or she is not aware of what is happening. Therefore, it is necessary to awaken, to arouse this dormant sadhya. So, if just like arousing a person who is fast asleep, one should arouse or awaken his sadhya, faith and confidence. If there is no faith and confidence, just like a person who is fast asleep, he or she will not be able to do anything. He or she will not be able to enter the realm of practice, Dhamma Vinaya, Dhamma Doctrine. Even if he or she comes into the realm of the Dhamma Doctrine, without faith and confidence, he or she will not be able to control himself or herself. And first and foremost, sadhya is crucial when one is coming into the realm of the practice or the realm of Dhamma Doctrine, Dhamma Vinaya. That's why we have to discuss, that's why we shall discuss this subject, namely sadhya, faith and confidence. To give you a very obvious analogy, in the ordinary life, you are taking food every day, but not all food, not every food, item of food is suitable for everybody. So we are not free from food, we are unavoidable, we have to take food. So we cannot avoid taking food. But we have to understand that not every item of food is suitable, appropriate for everybody. So first of all, we have to choose which food is suitable for you, which food is nutritious for you. In this way, we have to choose and try it, understanding that certain food is not suitable, and certain food is suitable for you. If the food is not suitable, then you abstain from eating it. And if the food is suitable for you, if you are free to eat, then you take it. So first of all, you have to understand which is suitable, which is not suitable. Because suitable food will give you good benefit, whereas unsuitable food will give you bad, will give you bad benefit, will give you harm. So if you take unsuitable food, you are bound to suffer from it. So one has got to understand. One should be able to differentiate between suitable and unsuitable food. Because suitable food will give you good effects in terms of health, digestion, and so on, well-being and so on. And also knowing that such and such a food is not suitable for you, because if you take it, you're bound to suffer from it. So you abstain from doing it. So you should have faith in the food that you are taking, that good food will bring about good benefit, and bad food will bring about suffering, bad suffering. And when you are taking suitable food also, you should take it in a reasonable manner, not too much, not excessive, in an excessive manner, but in an appropriate manner, according to rules, according to the discipline, not in a haphazard or excessive manner. If you take too much food, even if it's suitable, you are not bound to get benefit from it. So you have to take it in a moderate way, in a moderate manner. If you do that, you are bound to benefit from it. So by understanding this, you come to acceptance about the advantages and disadvantages of food. If it's unsuitable, then you abstain from doing it, then there is no suffering, no harm to it, not come to any harm. So this is in this sense, you also practice to behave physically, verbally, and mentally. If you do a good deed, while we have body, peace, and mind, you can get good benefits, good results. And understanding this, having faith in it, you develop it. You develop this practice. Strengthen it, enhance it with faith that if you do good physically, verbally, and mentally, you are bound to get benefit. And this is up to you. Nobody is going to do it. Nobody can do anything for you. You yourself have got to do it. You've got to choose. That's like choosing food. By taking food regularly and in limit, so too, you practice to behave physically, verbally, and mentally. If you take unsuitable food, you're bound to suffer. then there will be no wish or will to take that food. If there's no will, then you have no courage, no belief, no energy. Knowing that, that this food is uncomfortable, then you abstain from doing it. You should have that courage. As much as you have that courage, you will be free from harm. There will be no harm will come to you. Such is the analogy that is given for your practice. So too, if you are able to practice in a very cultivated, gentle manner, then you are bound to get results. Your thoughts, physical, verbal, mental behaviors will become cultural, loving, gentle, and happy. So you should understand that theoretically. Reading, studying, listening to thoughts that could be kept good, bad, and kept bad. Then there will be videos on a daily basis by behaving, physical and verbal behaviors, in a good way so that they become alcohol and alien. So if you have that need, then naturally, you express that energy in stages that we have discussed. There will be this heroic courage to undertake that practice. And if you do that, the succeeding controlling faculties will arise automatically. You're bound to get good results. So that if you behave in a bad way, the body, speech and mind, your behaviors will become very gross, violent, and despicable, leading to unwholesome results. Then you will have this samvega, so-called samvega. Your sense of urgency will be aroused. Then you have a wish, you will have a desire, samvega, to abstain from doing it. Then you have the courage to abstain from doing it, from committing unwholesome deeds. Then there will be the exertion of energy. And there will be no harm will come to you. Harm which will come if you do it in the wrong way. If you do it in the right way, no such harm will come to you. So in this way, you should have this faith and confidence in this process of good to get good, bad to get bad. And you should understand this first and foremost. Jami, when coming into the realm of the practice or sadhana or the most of things, on the realm of the Dhamma, it was saying, it is not easy to enter or to come into the realm with just the faith and confidence which has not been trained or untrained faith and confidence, uncultured faith and confidence. Even if one comes as it is, it will be very difficult for such people to take up the practice. And this kind of faith and confidence sadha should be accompanied with knowledge. That means there must be acceptance which is accompanied with knowledge. So in order to enter, to come into the realm of the Dhamma, one must first arouse, awaken his faith and confidence. Then one should develop it with a practice. Otherwise, one will not be able to accept it. Truth. One will not be able to accept it. So in order to instill faith and confidence, in order to be able to come into the land of practice as a whole, one must train it, or one must awaken it, one's faith and confidence. So, one, just like a person who is asleep, just like awakening a person who is asleep, so one is going to arouse and untrain our original faith and confidence. Otherwise, all along the samsara, that is round of birth and rebirth, one has not come to have faith in the mind, body, and the conditionality, cause and effect. One has not understood it even on a theoretical basis. That means one is not, one does not possess any faith and confidence. It just has a person who is perfect. Although one may be a nominal Buddhist, if one has not a faith in an object of faith, or object worthy of faith, a day of faith, it will be like any other person, any other common person. Therefore, it is necessary to awaken to arouse faith. One must understand first and foremost the quality of the Dhammavinaya, the mark of truth. That is awakening the Sada. By listening to the talk, by reading authentic literature, or by discussion, one should understand the quality of the Dhammavinaya. In this way, one is said to be arousing one's faith and confidence, which has been learned so much. So, the Dhammavinaya is made up of Dhamma, which means Dhamma is the state of things which give good results here and hereafter, now and hereafter. Or, in another sense, Dhamma is that which gives good results, good benefit for oneself and others. The instruction, the teaching that is given for the benefit of present and future, of all one's benefit and the benefit of the society, that is the Dhamma, that is the definition of Dhamma. Now the practice of Sati Prana Bhavana is beneficial. It has seven benefits as declared by the Buddha. You'll be free from the unwholesome mental state known as craving, aversion, and delusion. You'll be free from that if you undertake the practice. This is a sure path, as announced, as declared by the Buddha, that it is one way, it is the only way to be free from craving, aversion, and delusion. This is a sure way to be free from greed and lamentation, Sloka Parideva. This is a sure way. This is a sure way, a sure path to be free from physical pain and mental distress. And lastly, it's a sure way to be free from internal enemies by realizing the path of personal knowledge of the Buddha, seeing Nibbana with the path of personal knowledge. So this is quite simple, short and simple, brief and simple. This is the essence of it, that the Sati Prana Bhavana gives seven benefits. Studying the purification of the mind. It is simple and clear. So, normally, people's minds are impure. They cannot be pure until one is cultivated to the practice of Sati Prana Bhavana. They will be committing and help them physical as well and everything. If the mind is clear, if the mind is purified, the practice of Satipatthana Bhavana, then automatically your physical and verbal behavior also will become purified. They will free of impurities. They become calm. They become graceful. They become peaceful. They become gentle, helpful, amiable, so that their life will become lovely. It is simple and as simple as that. As clear as that. So, the Buddha has given this assurance about the purification of the mind, especially the Satipatthana Bhavana, that he gives 7 benefits. Sure way to give you benefits. If you practice, to activate your mindfulness of 4 kinds of objects, namely, physical or bodily objects, kaya, vedana, object of feeling or sensation, and cheta, object for the mind, or mental objects, and dharma, the general objects. If you are able to activate your mindfulness with regard to these objects, 4 kinds of objects, then you will be able to realize the 7 benefits. This is walking the Dhamma path to realize the benefits. So, in order to walk the path, the Buddha also has given a discipline that we call Vinaya, the disciplinary rules. And when we are practicing, we got to do it according to these disciplines. Abstaining from unwholesome physical and verbal behaviors, so that your physical verbal behavior will come to life, helpful, culture, peaceful, and gentle. And such discipline is known as Vinaya. So when you combine these 2 things, Dhamma and Vinaya, it becomes Dhamma Vinaya, which is another name for Sat, when we call it Satna, vision. So that is the Buddha's teachings in order to cultivate one's physical and verbal and mental behaviors. So in order to come to the realm of the practice of Satana or Dhamma Vinaya or the Dhamma realm, one should understand the qualities of Dhamma and Vinaya. In this way, one awakening or arouse one's faith and confidence better. Like starting up the engine in order to fly your vehicle. In order to arouse Satya Sattva, first and foremost, one to understand the quality of the Dhamma, especially the quality of the Satipatthana Bhavana, which is the Satipatthana practice. Let the practice of Satipatthana can bring about significant benefits which are not trivial. They are very essential. One should first possess this kind of knowledge. By listening to the Dhamma, by discussion or reading the Dhamma scriptures, one should come to get this reading or faith and confidence property of knowledge, which is the quality of the Satipatthana Bhavana. From the acceptance of the quality of the Satipatthana Bhavana and its benefits, that we are not trivial, one comes to accept it, that is better. First and foremost, it is to leave the desire to engage practice, to come at that stage. Once you have this desire, you must hesitate to exact your energy. As I described, first and foremost, the initial launching energy. Then that energy will become difficulty because of its physical pain and so on, and the final energy is stated, and then you reach the goal. So from where that releasing starts, they start out from the faith and confidence of Sukhara, the quality of the Satipatthana Bhavana, in a very small way or in a large way. Then, you have an obstacle. Okay, you confident? You will have a desire to realize the benefits of this practice, that is chanda. Having zeal, which is very important, because your feeling confidence is accompanied with knowledge of the quality of the Dharma power. Then you come to the meditation center to undertake the practice. You start to walk the Dharma path. When you walk the Dharma path, you have to walk in a straight way to reach the goal. And in order to do that, you need to observe the disciplinary rules. In terms of precepts, sitting precepts, that is, at least one has got to undertake vows of precepts. There are 5 precepts, and we have 8 precepts, 10 precepts. All the monks rules and disciplinary rules. There are many rules and rules. In this way, we find the discipline of physical and verbal rules. So that we don't break any rules as regards to physical and verbal rules. The physical and verbal rules must be properly disciplined according to the discipline as instructed. To abstain from what to abstain. If you abstain from what to abstain, then you will not come to any harm. And you will not become inferior in terms of your virtues. So based on virtues, sila, you understand also that you will gain your advantage to concentrate your mind and cultivate knowledge. Without being grounded in sila or virtue or morality, you understand that you will not gain any sense in terms of concentration and wisdom. So when you walk the Dharma path, you walk the Dharma path in a disciplined manner. For example, when you want to reach a destination in a vehicle, you want to drive according to the traffic track, according to the near side, the traffic, to reach your goal destination in a peaceful manner. That is the discipline that's just like the Dharma. You have to keep to your track, understanding that routes, such as speed, and so on, when you come to the junction, what you do, when you come to the traffic light, it's what you do, all these things will be understood. These are the disciplinary rules, so that there will be no mistake done because of your fault. So, first of all, first and foremost, no harm should be done, no harm should come because of your fault. Now, the particular practice is you don't want to make any mistake. At least from your side, from the practitioner, the Buddha is giving the discipline so that you will not make any mistake, starting with yourself. Of course, you have to understand that another person will make a mistake within the traffic. So, also, not only you have to be careful to abstain from mistakes, starting from yourself, but also you should be careful not to come to any harm because of other mistakes. So, what is important is not to make any mistakes from yourself, from your side. And if you make another person make a mistake, you should be very careful, you should be mindful. And such are the disciplines as laid down by the Buddha. Now, the yogis are beginning to walk the Dharma path. Observing the discipline, vinaya. So now you have the working of the mapa, you possess the vinaya. So if you are able to work the mapa with vinaya, with this discipline manner, you are bound to gain the benefit and he gave death. You got to get him or her some job to do, otherwise he will fall back sick. 30. After one but after the competence had been aroused by listening to the talks, reading literature and so on, this capacity developed for the pledges. And this will be discussed. So both from the theoretical and practical aspect in some of these.